has to be the best part of Christmas, seeing those little ones up here. You know what? They are precious in his sight. I love that play, Welcome to the Neighborhood. It's a story of redemption. Imagine a son coming home to redeem his father's creation. I want to share just for a few moments with you as that thread of redemption wove its way through the pages of Scripture, beginning in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, going all the way through Scripture, all the way through the annals of history and into eternity. I want to share just for a moment as it paused and stepped into this universe. Luke records it this way. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. The census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth the firstborn and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for him in the inn. Let's just pause and pray together. Father, we thank you that you chose to step out of heaven and step into this world to redeem each and every one of us. Thank you for that picture of Bethlehem. Thank you, Lord, that we as a world get to look at the manger at this time of year. But Lord, we recognize that it leads to the cross. And thank you that because of that, we can come into your presence today. Thank you that because the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, Father, we have an opportunity to come before you. And we give you thanks for that. In Jesus' name, amen. In Luke chapter 2, we have Mary and Joseph going back home. Back home to Bethlehem. Back home to be registered in a census. Think about it. Going back home to brothers and sisters, mothers and fathers, aunts and uncles, going back home to family. In my mind's eye, I see Joseph just in a panic, going from house to house, door to door. Can't you see Mary's going to have the baby any minute now? She's going to give birth. Don't you have a place for us? Don't you have room for us and their own people? Closing the door in their face. Their own people saying, no room. You know, I believe that we have to do for family what we don't have to do for anyone else. But there was no family that day that would open the door. No one. You know, when I read this account, I have to wonder, could it have been because word had already gotten to Bethlehem that Joseph and Mary were just betrothed? They weren't married yet, and here she is in full-term pregnancy. Every door they go to, every door that they went to was closed. I can think of people just answering the door and then going back to the dinner table saying something like, can you imagine what this is going to do to the family? Can you imagine what it's going to do to the family name? I mean, how dare they come here? We wouldn't want them to influence our family, our kids. What has the world come to? I wonder if that's why they found no room. No family would take them in. And you know what? That not only happened at his birth, it happened all the way through his life. A little bit further on in Luke, the Bible tells us that he goes back to Nazareth and he told them that prophecy was being fulfilled right before their very eyes. And it says they rose up and cast him out of the city. In each of the Gospels, we're told that Mary shows up with the Lord's half-brothers, and they show up to get Jesus because they thought he had lost his mind. His family. Mark 3 and 21 says, "But when his own people heard about this, they went out to lay hold of him, for they said, he's out of his mind." It happened politically, it happened religiously, and even his own family said, there's something wrong with him. We don't have any room for this kind of a savior. We have no room for this kind of a Messiah. And in the very end, it was one of his own disciples that betrayed him. It was one of his own disciples who denied him, and all of them left him. His own nation, imagine, turned him over to another nation. His own race turned him over to another race to crucify him. We don't have any room for a Messiah that says, blessed are the poor in spirit. We have no room for a Messiah that says, if you want to be first, you have to learn to be last. You have to be a servant of all. No room for a Messiah like that. And I wonder, is that true of us today? Have we said in our hearts, no room, no place, no time? Maybe we're here right now because it's the family thing to do. You know, we've really said we have no room for Jesus. We're here because it's tradition. You know, it's tradition to gather together to go see the kids in their wonderful little costumes and doing their play. It's so precious in his sight. But we don't have room. I mean, we have room for tradition, but we don't have room. No new wine. We're old wineskins. No new wine here. There's a great hymn that we sing this time of year that goes something like this. Thou didst leave thy king, thy throne and kingly crown when thou camest to earth for me. But in Bethlehem's home there was found no room for thy holy nativity. No room. But now listen to the chorus. Oh, come to my heart, Lord Jesus. There's room in my heart for thee. Can I ask you this morning? Is that your Christmas prayer this year? Oh, come to my heart, Lord Jesus. There's room in my heart for thee. I wonder if you're willing to pray that prayer this morning. I wonder as we think of that. Thank you, Marian. I wonder, are you willing to pray that? Maybe it'll be for the first time. Can you imagine? The first time being Christmas time, celebrating the Lord's birth. Maybe you've never received him before as your Lord and Savior. Just stop and think about this, just for a moment. Jesus has been rejected everywhere. Has he been rejected in your heart? Have you ever prayed, oh, come to my heart, Lord Jesus. There's room in my heart for you. We need to pray and we need to tell him that we have room for him. Politically, the world may say no room. Religiously, the world may say there's no room. Others may say there's no room, but I have room for Jesus this Christmas. You know how that hymn ends up? Listen to this. When the heavens shall ring and the angels sing, it's coming to victory. Let thy voice call me home, saying, yet there is room at my side for thee. You see, we're never going to hear that voice call us to heaven and say, there is room at my side for thee, unless we prepare on this side of glory, unless we make preparation for that and invite him into the room in our heart. I wonder, what better time to come for the Savior? We're going to pray together, and with every eye closed and every head bowed right now, we're going to pray and come to the one who gave up everything for us. It robbed heaven of its most precious commodity. It's free, but it wasn't cheap. And with our heads bowed and eyes closed, I want to ask you again, do you have room in your life for him? We have to realize some things. And we need to realize that each and every one of us are sinners. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Then it says, the wages of sin is death. That doesn't mean a physical death. That's a spiritual death. That's a separation from God for eternity. But then we have to realize that Jesus Christ came into this world. He came to that stable to save sinners. And that all we have to do is to accept that free gift. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Not maybe saved, you will be saved. Heavenly Father, I thank you again for that gift of your Son and for that message of hope at Christmas time. Thank you, Father, that you went and suffered and bled and died so that we might have peace, peace on earth. I pray that that peace would go with each one today, Father, as we recognize and realize the reason for the season. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have any questions and would like to speak about something about that this morning, I would like to ask you to come down and come down. There's a little baby over here clapping that I'm done. Thank you. Marie, are you going to close us in a hymn?
We'll close now with Angels We Have Heard on High, and with that, we'll dismiss you to enjoy the rest of the day. And if you can make it Christmas.